Bibles to the book of Daniel. And we have, last week, we had looked at part of the book of Daniel. So tonight, it's again Daniel, titled Survival, Part 2. And we had looked at major themes in Daniel regarding kings, that one of the things that comes forward to the forefront in the book of Daniel is that kings change, that rulers and kings come and go. And we had seen that Nebuchadnezzar, who was the most powerful king on earth at that time, as ruler of Babylon, when he died in 562 B.C., he was followed by Belshazzar. And then Darius the Mede followed him, and then Cyrus the Persian followed him. And each one of them, God showed himself to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and humbled each of them in different ways. There was visions given, as we saw, and Daniel was given the understanding of these visions. And God himself, though, stands out above the kings as unchanging, as the sovereign ruler of heaven and earth. No one can ward off his hand or say to him, "What have you done?" He does according to his will in the host of heaven and rest your servants for 10 days and let them give us vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then let our appearance be examined before you in the appearance of the young men who eat the portions of the king's delicacies. And as you see fit, so deal with your servants. So he consulted with them in this manner and tested them 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, their features appeared better and fatter in flesh than all the young men who ate a portion of the king's delicacies. But you can be sure it didn't have more than just vegetables. It had a lot of meat and venison. So thus the steward took away their portion of delicacies and the wine that they were to drink and gave them vegetables. He said, well, Daniel's food's better, so we're going to give it to everybody. And as for these four young men, God gave them knowledge and skill in all literature and wisdom. That's key. Who gave it to them? God did. God gave them knowledge and skill in all literature and wisdom. Every good and perfect gift is from above, the Father of lights. forefront here. Hey, we're not going to compromise. And we're going to see it again and again with tension with the rulers. But that's the tension that will be there for us too. I'll just give you another one in the United States of America where employers Nebuchadnezzar, they shall drive you from men. Your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make you eat grass like oxen. They shall wet you with the dew of heaven, and seven times shall pass over you, till you know that the Most High rules over the kingdom of men and gives it to him whomever he chooses. So, he's giving him the exact interpretation of the dream, which says, you, Nebuchadnezzar, the most powerful king, you're going to be made to eat grass like an animal. You're going to lose your mind for 7 years. What do you think of that? Until you acknowledge that God reigns and rules. Well, that's quite a bit of truth to power. There's that phrase, telling truth to power. Well, Daniel told truth to power, and he didn't hide anything. He gave the exact meaning of his dream. As they obeyed God's dietary law. The young men, think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in chapter 3, verses 8 through 18. Nebuchadnezzar, as we had mentioned last week when we looked, he was one who, with words, would say, oh, okay, yeah, God rules, but in his heart, he was wicked, self-centered, made an idol, big idol of himself, and said people need to bow down and worship this gold image of the king. End of verse 5. End of verse 5, chapter 3, you shall fall down and worship the gold image that King Nebuchadnezzar set up. And whoever does not fall down, verse 6, and worship, shall be cast immediately in the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And what do we find? We find that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, which are probably their three Babylonian names given to them, they refused, these three Hebrews refused to bow down to the idol of Nebuchadnezzar. Same thing, obedience. And what? They survived, right? They survived the fiery furnace. The angel of the Lord was with them in the midst. accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. And then they would be returned to the promised land. And he has this wonderful prayer. He says, "Now while I was speaking, praying, and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God. Yes, while I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision, appeared to him." But he was confessing his sin. So we know, obviously, Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We know he's a sinner. What's interesting is in this book, Daniel has no sin listed, which is kind of interesting. The point of the book is not Daniel's sinlessness. He confesses sin. We don't know what his particular sins were. They're not listed, as basically everybody else. In the Bible, we see their sins listed. We can speculate. Could be simple pride. Well, he's given wisdom 10 times more than all the others. I mean, knowledge makes pride, love edifies, knowledge makes arrogant. Right? So that's always the temptation with great knowledge and wisdom. Especially, again, sinful pride is taking great pleasure in having something more of something than somebody else. And the great temptation when one has better looks than somebody else, more money than somebody else, a better personality than somebody else, you name it, something better than somebody else, and we take great pleasure in the comparison, we're in sinful pride then. And obviously, yeah, that could be, it's a speculation. We know he's a sinner. He confesses his sin, and we know Scripture is clear, all of sin has fallen short of the glory of God, that are descended from the first Adam by natural generation. So certainly, yes, it could have been sinful pride. But that's what's interesting is that's not the point of the book, though, because it doesn't list it. Okay, so it's not one of the themes that would stand out, because it's not listed. It's not meant to stand out. The point of the book is for you and I to persevere, because that's what stands out, is Daniel's steadfast perseverance. Regarding all of these changing circumstances, all of these dangers all around him, where he's having to make choices with some of the most powerful people on earth that are sinful and wicked, and he's making choices to say, I'm going to obey God rather than men. I will obey God rather than men. I don't care if you throw me in the lion's den. I don't care what you do to me. I'm going to obey God rather than men. And he persevered through it. And that's the point for you and I, is to persevere in obedience to God's laws. Oops. Think about this. Daniel survives the deportation to Babylon, right? The reigns of King Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar, Darius the Mede, Cyrus the Persian. 628 talks with Cyrus in 628. So Daniel had prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. All the way through, all of them. Daniel survives everything from the crisis of the king's food in chapter 1 to being thrown in the lion's den in chapter 6. He also survives the end of the Babylonian Empire as the Persian Empire enters it. There had to have been much tension between the Babylonian Empire and the Persian Empire. And he survived that also. That's right. All of those who are close as counselors to the king get their heads chopped off with the king. So they want to start fresh. They want everyone loyal. People who are not going to in any way stab them in the back. But he survived it all. Incredible, really. That's really 1 through 3. At that time, Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. By Michael the archangel. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. And at that time, your people shall be delivered. Everyone who is found written in the book, written in the Lamb's book of life. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. Right? At the great white throne judgment, those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. Ultimately, the book is about the survival and victory of all of God's people. You think of all the things that fall in the book. Rulers fall, cities fall, nations fall. Every one of us has to ask ourselves, are we a child of God, a citizen of his kingdom? Are you a child of an earthly kingdom? Look at chapter 5, 17 to 23. We had read this last week. I want to read it again. Chapter 5, 17 to 23. This is after Belshazzar, who took over after Nebuchadnezzar died. Belshazzar became king, and he saw a writing on the wall after his huge banquet with 1,000 of his lords and nobles, and he didn't know what the writing meant, right? Well, Daniel has been shown by God. Look at Daniel 5, 17 to 23. Then Daniel answered and said before the king, "Let your gifts be for yourself and give your rewards to another, yet I will read the writing to the king and make known to him the interpretation. O king, the Most High God gave Nebuchadnezzar, your father, a kingdom and majesty and glory and honor." Did Nebuchadnezzar get it by himself? Who gave Nebuchadnezzar authority and power in his kingdom? God did, right? O king, the Most High God gave Nebuchadnezzar, your father, a kingdom, majesty, and glory and honor. And because of the majesty that he, God, gave him, all peoples, nations, languages, themselves trembled and feared before him. Whomever he wished, he executed. Whomever he wished, he kept alive. Whoever he wished, he set up. Whoever he wished, he put down. And this is the one Daniel survived through all of that. But when Nebuchadnezzar's heart was lifted up and proud, and his spirit was hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. So when he was made to eat grass like an animal, then he was driven from the sons of men. His heart was made like the beasts, and his dwelling was like the wild donkeys. They fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, until he knew that the Most High God rules in the kingdom of men and appoints it whomever he chooses. Verse 22, but you, his son, Nebuchadnezzar's son, Belshazzar, have not humbled your heart, although you knew all this. He knew it all and was proud. Belshazzar knew it all and was proud. He didn't humble himself. And you have lifted yourself up in sinful pride against the Lord of heaven. They have brought the vessels of the house before you, and you and your lords, your wives, and your concubines have drunk wine from them, and you have praised the gods of silver and gold and bronze and iron, wood and stone, which do not see or hear or know. And the God who holds your breath in his hand and owns all your ways, you have not glorified. And look down at verse 30. That very night, Belshazzar, king of the Chaldeans, was slain. Like that. breath in his hand and owns all our ways. Have we glorified him? The end of verse 23. Belshazzar knew it, but he didn't glorify God. He didn't humble himself. We know it. Well, we humble ourselves and confess our sins and humbly live to glorify God in all that we do. In the book of Daniel, this is kind of the mountaintop peak here in the middle of Daniel. Daniel was told that all of God's kingly power would one day be concentrated in the hands of one who was like the Son of Man. Daniel 7, and the vision of God, God the Father and his heavenly throne in heaven, kind of portrayed as we read last week in verses 9 and 10. And then what did he say? What did he say there in verse 13 and 14? I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man. Well, you should underline and circle Son of Man there. Coming with the clouds of heaven, he came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away. And his kingdom, the one, you can underline that. In his kingdom, the one, which as we've seen in the book of Daniel, all these other ones come and go. God brings them to naught. But here, the Son of Man's kingdom is the one kingdom which shall not be destroyed. Jesus Christ is the Son of Man. And that's it, why that's his most favorite title for himself, coming right here from this text. Has this whole context of Daniel's life living in all of these under all of these various kings that come and go. That come and go. With sinful pride, and God humbles them. Sinful pride, God humbles them. But Christ himself, who sits in session right now at God the Father's right hand, reigning and ruling, has an everlasting kingdom. Ever be destroyed. He has authority over all peoples, nations, languages, that everyone should serve him. Our life, breath, and our ways are in his hand, and we should glorify him in all that we do. Look at chapter 9, verse 19. This is in Daniel's prayer. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, listen and act. Do not delay for your own sake, my God. For your city and your people are called by your name. Underline all the yours in there. Right? For your own sake, your city, your people are called by your name.